arms open wide. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Everybody warm this morning?
Yes.
It's going to be what, 40 degrees? Oh, that's a heat wave, ain't it? I wish I could speak to Fran's question. How can the sun be shining and it's still so cold? This ain't Brazil. What a beautiful morning it is, and God's glory is shining round about us. And we have some who are not with us today, so we want to start by remembering Jean. As we had talked about earlier on, she is in the hospital. She is doing as good as she can do. They think maybe tomorrow. I don't know. The way she was coughing yesterday, I want to keep her lifted up in prayers. And Denny is in the hospital for an overnight, but Herman, do you know if they're going to keep him much longer? Or?
Just to run
some tests. He fell and hit his head and had to have some work done on fixing that, and they decided to take him and check up on him. So he's over at the hospital too. I want to keep him lifted up in prayers. Others this morning, what's upon your heart? Joys, concerns? What leads you this morning? Continue to be with Suzanne. She has finished up her treatments, and the doctor, I believe he was telling me, said that they liked what they saw progress-wise. So we want to continue to work within that with prayer. Good to have you back today, Sonia. I know you've been having some trouble there, and you're feeling better. Any others this morning? If not, then let us move along with our prayers. And if you have that unspoken request, just something upon your heart too great to share out, please, just that hand up and down as we join forward. Thank you. Heavenly Father, you are so great. And by that, it's not just a spoken word. It's not just an out-and-out released statement. You are so great. You think about us. You're within us. You care for us. You lift us up. You take us through everything. You discipline us when we have begun to act up. And you love us when we have fallen. You forgive us when we have failed. You bless us when we least expect it. You are so great. Thank you, Father. Thank you for being there to comfort us in all facets. And even when we forget to say thank you, Father, you still know that our heart is for you. Thank you, Father. You are so great. We ask that the prayers that have been laid out here today, the spoken, the unspoken, those written down on paper and put in a box, will be heard and directed as needed. That you would continue to be with the Shipp family for Mary and for Denny. And remember Margaret as she's not here today, and Jean as well. Pat Cross is not feeling well, and so she's not here today, as long as with Joe and Anna and so many others who have tried to make it here, and perhaps this cold is keeping them away, Tilly, and for those who have healed and recovered and are starting on the next phase of whatever journey you have laid out for them, strengthen them, Father, like Suzanne. It is within us to pray for our brothers and our sisters. It is within us to pray for those we don't even know. And so we offer up that prayer now as we set our hearts together. That you would find favor as we ask for blessings upon all those who call out into you for your name and don't even realize they're calling for you, Father. The words of that song, "Oh, how he wants to come in." They need ask. Bless those, Father, who watch over and keep us. Help them make good decisions, strong decisions. Give them the strength to perform the duty that you have charged them with, their job, their task, their whatever, Father, be with them. And take us on, Father, on to the next point. Watch over those who are traveling today, Father, who will be traveling, who are coming and going to visit, to renew, to strengthen, that they would have safe travel. And help this country, Father, in our desperate time of need. Oh, how far we've come away from you. And oh, how badly we need to be brought back in. Hear us as we pray the way Jesus taught us, Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power and the glory forever. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 11 through 14. Just some little short verses. Paul is writing to the Ephesians. He's talking about the spiritual blessings, but he's talking about something even more important that we don't forget. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 through 14. He writes these words. In Him we are also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. That is some warm, strong verses on a cold morning. Amen. Let us pray. Father, shift our gears now. Let us get ready for the message. The words that you have given to be spoken. That they would hit us true. That they would lift us up. That they would challenge us. That they would prick our hearts. That they would motivate us to walk closer to Christ. To shine that light more. That we may show people along the way who might be lost the way back home. We ask that you bring the truths from this message into us. And that we may go from here stronger, better knowing, and walking just a little bit more the way you would have us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now I got to tell you something truthfully. I am lazy. Now I know if you don't believe that, or can't possibly think that's true, because all you ever see is me coming here and going there and going here and coming here. But if I sit down, I'm done. Especially if I find my easy chair wanting me. I am a lazy, lazy, lazy individual. I can't help it. The only reason I keep moving is because if I don't keep moving and sit down, I will never do anything. And along them lines, I'm not only lazy, but I seem like I am always broke. Every time I turn around, it seems like I'm always broke. Now, you got to let me explain this. I'm not poor. I'm broke. There was a comedian on the television set the other night who was explaining how to understand what being broke meant. He said, when I was at home, I was broke, but I had money. I'd reach in my pockets. I couldn't. Hey, Dad, Can you lend me $20? I got to go get some pizza. Thanks, Dad. Put that right there. And then I went to college. And boys and girls, let me tell you, I became broke. I used to walk around all the time going, well, I'm going to go get some money. I ain't got no money. No money. God, please just let some money fall down from the sky. I once found a dollar bill. And I thought, a dollar. I got money now. I never knew the importance of a dollar bill. I might just not even do anything with this dollar bill. I might just spend the evening with it. Just lay it on the couch next to me. Because I am broke. And broke is broke and can't be fixed. And I know that feeling. Because there is often times that I am just lazy enough that I will walk outside in the front yard and go, Lord, please, let a bank truck break down here on 40. And I will go help them. And they will give me a bunch of money for helping them. Hasn't happened yet. You're not going to get it by wishing, are you? I want money. I'll make no bones about it. I don't love money. I just want it because I seem like I'm always broke. And every time I seem like I'm always broke, there is that ultimate deal on a tractor somewhere that I should have. You know, that's why I'm broke. Because God doesn't want me to have them. He wants to teach me a lesson. I want money. So I don't have to work. And I can play in my shop all day. That ain't going to happen either. Because down in my shop, danger lurks. But you see, the reason I don't have is because I made this mess for myself. At 45 years old, at a point in time when I should have been trying to grow up, at about 21, 22 years old, I had no interest in that. Grow up, I'm not even married. And so I am paying for what I did years ago. It's my fault that I'm broke. And I know it. Someday I won't be broke. If one of my inventions ever works, I'm going to be rich. And I know I'm going to be rich. Because the other night, while we was having dinner at my favorite Chinese restaurant down in Frederick, where they have salt and pepper shrimp, when I broke my fortune cookie open, my fortune came out and said, are you ready? You will receive a fortune. You see that? I got that. I'm going to get that thing, boy. I'm going to mount it on something and I'm going to put it on a plaque on the wall. It says, I'm going to be rich. I'm going to receive a fortune. And I giggled to myself and I said, man, look at that. I'm going to receive a fortune. And I'm going to be rich, and I'm going to have all the tractors I want, and nobody's going to be able to tell me I can't do anything I want to do anymore. And ha, 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 ha. And I walked out the door of the restaurant, and I sat down in the truck with that fortune, and I went, yeah. Oh, man, that's a sermon. Oh, Lord, you're trying to teach me something, aren't you? And I began to think, and we all know what happens when I start thinking. The fun goes right out of my fortune. But that piece of paper is true. And I've lost sight of it from time to time. We all have lost sight of it. Go back to verse 11 for a minute. Listen to the words again. Not just as the opening lines of Scripture before the sermon, but as verse 11 and what Paul is trying to say and what he means. I'm going to slow down a little bit here. And I want you to hear these words. In Him, we were also chosen. Stop. We were chosen. You understand that? That beautiful song that Linda sang, Oh, How He Wants to Come In. The first song we sang, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. The Solid Rock. We were chosen. We were chosen because God looked down and said, I've got to do something. And so Christ left and chose us. We were chosen. I'm often amazed that that verse is buried backwards in that chapter like that. It should have come right out of the gate that way. But I guess he had to warm them up first. We were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. Stop right there. Again, do you understand those words? We are not masters of our own destiny. Oh, I want to be. Oh, let me just tell you, if I had my way, I'd make a living out of fixing up people's toys. Tractors, trucks, old cars, stuff like that. Everything I do would make me money. They'd hate to see me walk into stock market exchange because I would just go, I'll take that stock right there. And by the end of the day, I'd be millions richer. That ain't happening. He chooses what we do because He has a will for us. When we get unhappy, when things start going wrong, is when we push up against it and try to break away from it and forget the fortune that has been laid out for us. Paul goes on to write there in verse 12, in order that we, who were the first hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. Amen. That song we sang, Fran, that had to sing that first song, through my life, Jesus, shine. That's His will. Of all things everywhere in the world, you can be the most fantastic preacher on the face of this earth. Or you can be that person that always is behind the scenes working in the kitchen down there in the cook room, making sure that the church meals are just right. But you know what? Jesus is shining as brightly through that person as anyone. If that is what you're asking for, that's a fortune. That's the beginning of what we get. And you can't put money, you can't put a value on that. All that matters is that we have been chosen. We have been given a will. We have been pushed along somewhere. I have been asked from time beginning, growing up the way I did, you going to be a preacher one day? No. You going to be a preacher one day? No. Are you going to be a preacher one day? No. No, 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 no. In 2003, I preached a sermon at Harmony Church of the Brethren just as a fill-in because the preacher wasn't feeling well. And the district executive at that time was sitting in the back of the room. And when I got done, he caught me off to the side. He goes, my God, when are you going to start preaching? And I said, never. Never. I have got to take that word out of my vocabulary. Because God said, you're going to preach. And I said, no. He said, oh yes, you will. And I'll show you your fortune. He said to each one of you, when the time came, when you finally gave up, you're going to be mine. And I'm going to show you my will and your fortune. Paul's talking about it right there in them first two verses. Very carefully hidden back in there. Nonetheless, he reminds us because how often we get caught up and forget. We get so driven in the search of things that we want. I know that feeling. I get all wound up when I see things all around me that I want. I get all excited about that. And I start forgetting that all these things will be given to me in my time. Turn over to Luke 12. Now, I could go through all the verses in Luke 12, because there's only 59 of them, and we could get started preaching and probably get done about 1 o'clock. I might save that for another day, when it's good and hot outside and everybody wants to be in the air conditioning. But I want you to start up in about verse 13, 14 up in there. And Jesus is talking about rich fools, and we're going to overview this. And you know my feelings on this if you know the story. It's the story of the bigger barns. Jesus told them about a parable. Verse 16, there was a certain man who produced a good crop, and I'm going to go ahead and do the overview of it. And he thought, man, I've got some good crops. Look how much things are growing for me. Look how much it's expanded. I can't put everything in my barn. I'm so rich, you know what? I'm going to build a big barn. And I'm going to fill that big barn till it's bursting at the seams. And then I'm just going to kick back, and I'm going to eat, and I'm going to drink, and I'm going to be merry. He even says it there in verse 19. And I'll say to myself, you got plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. In other words, now be lazy. God said to him, you fool. This very night your life will be demanded of you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? I have a problem with churches building bigger barns. When I hear the so-and-so church up the road has 3,000 people stuffed in there, and they're thinking they've got to build something to hold 6,000 people, I'm thinking, you've missed it. Your fortune, your will, is to start planting and grow. Instead of having everything here, what about if it was 10 miles up the road, you put another church where some people may have not heard the gospel? Brothers and sisters, that's what happens to us sometimes when we let the world and the greed and the desires of the world overrun us. We forget that we have a fortune, and that fortune ain't nothing like what we can lay up here. No matter what, no matter how big you build a house, no matter how many cars you have, no matter how much ground you have so that you can wander out on your estate. Those things are nice, and I don't say don't have them if that's what God has laid out for you. But what I'm saying is, remember your fortune that you're about to receive. Give back. Put out. Shine the light through again. Don't hide it. Don't forget it to the point where it almost becomes worthless. There is a man, and his name is Rob Cutshaw. Does anybody in here know who Rob Cutshaw is? Okay, I finally got you for once. I didn't know who Rob Cutshaw was either, and you didn't either until, well, maybe if you took a certain newspaper back in 1987. Rob Cutshaw had a little roadside shop out of Andrews, North Carolina, and he was into picking up rocks and stuff like that. He'd put them on benches out front, and people stopped by, and he'd sell them a rock. I'm missing the boat here somewhere. If you can make money doing that, I got a whole field full of flint back home. But this is what he did. He says he's no expert. He knows what's good, and he knows what he likes. And so he leaves that to somebody else. And he said, you know, it don't always pay the bills. But sometimes it's real good, and sometimes it's real bad. But about 20 years ago, and this is before 1987, so back in about 67, Rob found a rock which he described as, quote, purdy and big, unquote. He tried to sell the specimen. He tried unsuccessfully. Didn't nobody want his purdy big rock? So he stuck the thing under his bed or in the closet and kept it there. He said he thought it would be maybe worth about $500, but if somebody came along and wanted to buy it and would give him enough money to pay his electric bill, he'd sell him that old chunk of rock. Again, I'm missing something here. He never paid attention to what he had. He didn't take time to learn about it. He didn't take time to move on up a little bit more. So he put the rock on display, let people have an opportunity to see it. The people didn't like it, but the city police looked over it, and it drew people to the town. And not recently, until recently, and that's 1987, Rob was watching a television show about gemstone discoveries and started to think, hey, wait a minute here. I got a rock looks like that. He said there had been a wide range of estimates, and finally he got somebody to come take a look at this thing in his little white frame house right next to the road on US 19. He said, I had it on display and nobody come around, but he finally heard about a man in Arizona that would polish that thing for $10. So he said, I got a hold of him, and I took that thing over there, and I got a hold of this guy in Plano, Texas, John Robinson. And he polished the stone. The 2.5-pound stone yielded a 2,111-carat sapphire. Y'all can sit for a minute and think about that. That is a serious rock. In 1987, the Guinness Book of World Records listed the biggest sapphire ever found in Australia was 2,300 carat, but when it was cut down, it was only 1,300 carats. Rob Cutshaw in North Carolina had found the world's biggest sapphire. On the fourth day of cutting, Robinson discovered a rare pattern that formed a Star of David in the center of that crystal. Has anybody heard about it yet? I'm not sure. Cutshaw decided it was time to sell that thing. He created what is now on display, known as the sapphire, the blue sapphire, known as the Star of David, worth $2.75 million. That's a fortune. And he had forgotten about it, almost to the point where the only thing that kept it in his memory was something that triggered it. That ain't nothing. If you go back and you read Revelations and you hear them talk about heaven, we're talking about streets lined with gold and crystal walls and pearls on the gates and jewels and things that were just unbelievable to John as he was on the Isle of Patmos writing this. But that still ain't the fortune. When we walk through that door and them arms are open. Hi, Paul. Hi, come here. And Lord Jesus Christ wraps them around you and hangs on to you. When He has been given something that give to you that you may hold on to and we lose sight of, there ain't no money on this earth that can touch it. And the cookie was right. You will receive a fortune. The minute you start to believe, the minute you find yourself drawn in, you will receive that fortune. We know that because back in Ephesians, Paul, continuing to write, has these words. And you also were included in Christ when you first heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, verse 14, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption. Thank you, boys. What did we talk about last Sunday? Who still has the coupons? Oh, a lot of hands going up. Hey, if you didn't get a coupon last Sunday, you see me right there after church. Redemption. You're redeemed. You're redeemed into the inheritance. You're redeemed into the fortune, which is everlasting life with Jesus Christ. All we have to do is not let the world draw us into the trouble that is it. Oh, yeah, I'm broke. I am poor. Luke, the gospel writer, continues these words. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than the birds. Consider how the lilies grow. He goes on to talk about that. Set your faith. Do not be afraid, little flock, Jesus is saying. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Pleased to give you the kingdom. Here. Because of your belief in me, because of your good works. Here. Do you not understand what that means to be a Christian? That means one day we're all leaving here. One way or the other. And I'm going to tell you what. We're going to cross that crystal sea and we're going to see Him and we're going to walk through that door and won't nothing on earth ever be able to compare to it ever. Amen. Amen. That is the treasure. That is the fortune. That is what's being laid up for us. Jesus goes on to say, sell your possessions to the poor and provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. Redemption. Into the inheritance. Into the fortune. Into the cooking. You will receive a fortune. That's probably the first and only fortune cookie I've ever got or ever will get that was ever true. You will receive a fortune. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a beautiful thought it is that we here as we struggle every day, as we look around wondering why we don't have the things that the neighbor has, or why life is so hard on us because we became Christians. It's supposed to be so much easier. Why is it that I have to struggle as much as I do when the neighbor doesn't? Father, remind us. You have predestined our will. You have laid aside an inheritance, a fortune, a moment, the likes of which we cannot comprehend, nor will we ever be able to compare to. We don't need to worry about the neighbor, other than if he's saved. We need to worry about reminding ourselves every single day these words that you have given us. The will has been laid out for us. Now our job is to shine your sun through our lives. No matter what we do, no matter where we're at, no matter who we are, we can teach people of the fortune that they too can have. And one day, Father, we'll claim it. One day, Father, when our work here is done, we will step across that gate and we will see Jesus Christ, hands open, arms outstretched, smiling beyond what we can absolutely believe a smile will look like. And He will pull us in and He will pull us close and He will tell us, welcome home. Can't nothing we do on this earth compare. Remind us of that every moment, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have a particular need, if you need a strengthening, if you need prayer, if, as Linda said, you don't know Christ, you need Him to come on in, this is the time as we go forth toward the last hymn at the altar call. If you need prayer, you can come up here and pray. If you need me to pray with you, you just let me know. But remember, your fortune is yet to come.
Please stand and turn to page 638.
Thank you.
Gracious Father, oh, how we need Thee. Oh, how we need Thee. Please watch over us today. Make our feet ready to walk through whatever in the week to come and the time to come. Bind us together here today, Father. And let our hearts not forget that great fortune that waits, that has been promised, that has already been given. And let us shine Your Son through us as we go forth from here, praising His holy name. Now in the Father, now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, now and forever. Amen.